B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready.
Oh, good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Crisanelli Show on a Tuesday where it is hell out there. It was hell, and now it's semi-hell. The wind is still blustery out there, so if you're out there driving, be careful. If you suffer some property damage or you're dealing with that, you have my sympathies and empathy. It raged, and it's still raging. I tried to walk in with, my hair's all blown over all over the place. The wind is crazy.
It's a hat day for me.
Is it a hat day for you? Yeah, I tried no hat, and I got blown all over the place. There was a storm last night, too. The Sixers. Sixers and the Phillies. Now, we'll talk about both of them. I'm trying to hang in here. And, I'm going down a fool's road thinking that things are going to be different. And, I'm trying to grapple with that before I tune out of this season. Now, I'm talking, they won, by the way. And Shake Milton kind of redeemed himself by making a three-point shot that I didn't even think he was going to take, but he fires and he makes it and they win. And that's all good. But this Sixer team is not right. And it's not right on many levels. And it's certainly not right with the head coach. And I hate to say that because I like the guy, but there is nothing different about this team. There is no pizzazz. There is no different plan. There is no set rotation. There is no belief that these guys who can't play shouldn't be in the game. And he keeps trying to go down these paths where he's playing the likes of Korkmaz and Neto on the floor at the same time, mind you. And Ben Simmons looks lost in this new alignment. Other than that, things are going wonderful. But if you've been watching this NBA, you've been watching a bunch of teams play really hard. The teams that had the Sixers playing hard. That team last night that they played stinks, okay? They've got guys off the street playing on that roster. And those guys were scrapping and clawing and out-energying the Sixers, who a lot of people think had a chance to do something in the playoffs. As of now, there is no chance that they could do anything in the playoffs. And I don't know what's going to have to happen for me to think otherwise, except a miracle. And I don't think any miracles come in the NBA. So you saw, I don't have to describe what you saw last night, do I? I mean, they should have put that team away. They didn't put the team away. They wound up almost losing the game, which would have been a dreadful circumstance. And they limp out of this game with their fan base going, this is off a win and a last second kind of shot that wins the game. Their fan base is gone, nah. There is not, if I can find 10 optimistic people today and all the calls that we have, it will astonish me. 10 people who call this show today and go, Mike, you're missing it. I think they're going to do this. I think they're going to do that. I don't know what you're seeing, but this, it's the same old boss to me. And I should have known. You know, a team that shows you a certain profile, and they showed us all a profile being a sixth seed. And I bought into, well, these guys are on the floor at once. Now, this guy needs to get healthy and they'll be fine. And I kind of bought into it, although I was still leery about it. I came into this thing optimistically thinking that things were going to be different. Yeah, you see anything different? Tyrone, you see anything different? What were you saying on Sixers Outsiders last night? Were you upset? Were you disappointed?
I was disappointed. I wasn't angry, but I was disappointed. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to the rotation. A lot of things are wrong, but I'm trying to think of what could actually change. What's with this rotation, Mike? The rotation, and I think...
He has no idea. He has no idea what his rotation is or can be, or who he can count on, or who he cannot count on.
So
at this stage.
And at this point, you can't just guess. You have to know what guys can. At this point, he should know what guys can and cannot do. And for that reason, I'm angry because, okay, we know what Thibault can and what he can't do. We know what Korkmaz and Neto. Neto shouldn't play, by the way. We know what Burks. At this point, we know what guys can and cannot do. We even know what Shake Milton. Shake Milton can make an open shot. We do know that. Like, He should be able to come up with a rotation based on knowing his personnel. And yet, in the fourth quarter, they're up eight, and you just, again, knowing what he has behind it, knowing Ben Simmons is in foul trouble, you take out both Embiid and Tobias Harris again in a game where you're playing no defense and then wonder why you can't score. You can't score because you don't have anyone in the game because Burks is glued to the bench who can generate a damn score. If I know that and you know that, Mike, and the people know that, how doesn't the head coach know it?
I don't know. I do not know. And you are right. It's all guesswork when throwing guys in rotation. And there's no certainty and there's no belief as a fan that you can look at it and say they're making the right moves. This is a team that was supposed to be defensively oriented, right? They were supposed to stop other teams. That was one of the planks that was supposed to get them far in the playoffs. They have played two inferior teams here that both rung up over 120 points on them. Now, how is that possible? How does that team last night with one true player on the floor? I mean, let's face it. He's a good player, DeMar DeRozan. How's Rudy Gay score 20? What did he say? I mean, listen, he's a nice little sub, but he's like 40 years old at this point. And he's their only other viable offensive option. And then they get this rookie kid from Kentucky throwing in shots. And it's like, well, how do you not defend these guys? Come on. Help me out a little bit here. I'm just apoplectic about how this has turned out. And you know what's going to happen? Here's the same thing. It's deja vu all over again. But you remember they took the ball out of Ben's hands and it turned into a disaster for Ben? He was totally invisible. And they have Butler had the ball because Ben... And now they can make another change. They now, after two games, it's clear as day, they have to go back to the way it was. The Bennett 4 thing is not working as well as the Bennett 1. And you're going to have to take the warts of Bennett 1 on this team and hope something different. You put a defensive profile in there by starting Thibault. You bring Shake Milton off the bench. Or even, at this point, put Horford back in the freaking lineup and then set your rotation that way. Because this is not working. I'm trying to, this is almost gallows humor. But it's like, I'm watching the game in disbelief that this Spurs team is hanging in there in the fourth quarter and scoring points. Their fourth quarter defense is horrendous. That shows you what kind of heart a team has. You stop the other team in the fourth quarter. A good team. That's how you're a good team. A bad team you can't stop in the fourth quarter. What do I have to hope for? You can't stop a bad team in the fourth quarter.
And it looks like they can lose in the first round.
It does.
It looks like they can lose in the first round. And I'm a pretty optimistic guy.
Yep.
It looks like they can lose in the first round.
They're disjointed, man. There's no joinder with this team.
And the coach's usual excuse of Embiid out of shape or Embiid's the problem, he can't even use that right now. That's the worst part. That's even worse. So I don't know a path out of this short of what you mentioned. Give the ball back to Ben and see if that works better.
You got to at this point. You have to. You got to go. I don't have enough time now to see this thing through because we're going to find ourselves buried. So let's try to go back to the way it was and perfect what we had in some form. It's like a hitter who goes to a new stance. You know, you don't have enough time to perfect that low hands. Go back to the way you were comfortable. Try to improve what that was. Yeah. All right. We'll talk about it. And the Phillies last night. I was watching a lot of the Phillies last night. I'm flipping back and forth. It was just a tough night to flip back and forth. But I didn't think the Phillies were going to win that game. But they're hanging in there. Arrieta, after kind of a, you know, I gave up a couple opposite field home runs, he's hanging there. He's giving them an effort. And then after five innings, he's done. Now, by the way, I win the over-under. But he probably should have came out for the sixth.
I thought he had settled down.
He seemed to be fine, and they're overly cautious. You can't be overly cautious with only 57 games. I've criticized Girardi in the past, and last night, for some reason, and I don't know if this was even asked by the reporters. I didn't stick around to see it. He takes Arrieta out. He makes the decision to take him out. In the sixth inning, the Yankees have the first two hitters, first two of the three hitters in the sixth are left-handed hitters, and he brings the right-hander in. He brings Guerra in, which I completely didn't understand. Deolis Guerra, he's brought him in before. I guess he's looking for like a sixth inning guy that can waste a couple innings. But I didn't understand the mentality of bringing in the righty there. And of course, the right-hander does hit the home run, or Shella hits the three-run homer, and that puts the game out of reach. But I would love to know what his thinking is there. Instead of bringing in the left-hander Morgan, at least for the first three hitters, unless he didn't want Morgan to face Giancarlo Stanton. But, you know, I don't know what he's done. Listen, I'm totally confused. I'm in a state of confusion, a ball of confusion. That's what the world is today. Hey, hey. So we'll talk about it. 610-632-0975. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show. Sixers, Phillies chat. Whatever's on your mind, let's get it out. What are you seeing that maybe I'm not seeing as far as optimism with this Sixer team? Back after this, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's 2:18. It is the Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'll try my best to hide my disgust, but it's going to come out a lot today. The 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson, the HVAC Lion Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, supplies, for every heating and cooling job. And it is now time to start our Twitter poll. Can't wait to see what this is. Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you need a new mower or other outdoor power equipment, check out Paul B. Moyer and Sons in Doylestown. You get good old-fashioned customer service. Order online at paulbmoyer.com. They have safe contactless pickup, by the way. Natalie, what are we Twitter polling today?
Thanks, Mike. Over 150 votes on this one early. Do you feel better or worse after the Sixers win last night? 22.7% feel better. 77.3% feel worse.
Now, there you go. And that's coming off a win. And that's really truth serum, because I feel the same exact way. I didn't feel any better about that game last night. They gave up 130 points to the San Antonio Spurs. And 43 against that team in the fourth quarter. The Spurs got 58 points off their bench. 58 points off their bench. They start guys like Lonnie Walker to the fourth. I know, he's a Redding kid. I get it. Come on. They start the kid, Derek White from Colorado, who's like a total unknown. DeJounte Murray's got some talent a little bit, but he's coming back from an injury. Pirtle, they start. And off the bench, this Eubanks Claude got 10 rebounds for him.
Yeah.
Rudy Gay, 24. The kid from Kentucky, who wasn't even that much of an impact player at Kentucky, Keldon Johnson, throws in double figures off the bench for them. Patty Mills, they have, of course. They even dust off that Tyler Zeller and bring him in the game. Like 52 points they got off their bench, Tyrone.
It was terrible. And then I know people think he kind of redeemed himself with those layups.
Shaky? Oh, no. Oh, Neto. Oh, the reverse layups?
But what about the air ball? The mid-range air ball that he hunted for. So rather than pass as the point guard, he's going to get his own shot. And he throws up a mid-range TJ McConnell-esque medicine ball air ball in the fourth quarter of the game. Why is he in the game?
He got picked in the back, his own backcourt.
Yep.
I haven't seen that in the NBA. In fact, last time I saw it was Coach Carter when Damian did it. And Coach Carter, he's the guy in the backcourt went for a layup. It's the NBA. I get it. Listen, man, I get it. I don't know what to tell you.
And what?
I really don't. It's time. Listen, you got to just go back to the old way and hope that that works. This newfangled thing, you know, I'm time to see it through. You got to be playing better than you're playing now. I mean, you play two bad teams and nearly lost both of them.
And now they're playing another one tomorrow in Washington. But Washington does score. I mean, they're terrible. Like, without Beal, they're really bad.
I thought they were going to really come up big in that effort last night. I really did. I thought, okay. And Milton's going to play better. And he did. But, and Josh Richardson showed some life, even though he's 5-for-15 and he can't shoot at all. I don't know what to say. But the new lineup, give him a ball back. Give the kid the ball back. It doesn't work any other way. You've tried this now. Give him the ball back. Bring Shake Milton off the bench.
Or he could, if he wants to stick with it, allegedly, he can leave this lineup but just let Ben bring the ball up again and tell Shake to get on a wing. If he's really married to this because of spacing, just let Ben bring the ball up so he has a clue.
Yeah, he could do that too. I don't know. At this point, get a defensive presence in there either way. Well, Horford's not going to give you that much of a defensive presence, but
yeah, he's not going to go back because his analytics say that those three, that Simmons, Embiid, and Horford together is terrible. He's not going to go back to that.
They're taking a shot with this. Why not take a shot with that again? What's the difference?
Because he says he says he already knows that doesn't work. Knows. This might work.
All right, well, then start Thybulle.
I'm okay with that.
And tell him just to defend. And don't worry about anything.
And get to the corner. And if you're wide open,
play
shoot
like
the corner
Bruce
through.
Bowen.
Yep. I think he can do that, but the coach has full faith in Neto and Korkmaz and no faith in Thybulle. And I'm saying it's fine if you don't trust all three, but there's nothing in me that understands trusting Korkmaz and trusting Neto and not trusting Thybulle. That doesn't make sense to anybody who watches basketball because one guy has some ability and the other two don't.
All right, let's... this is a big day. Dude. We're talking to Jason Stark about baseball issues. We've got the Sal Pal about some football issues. So both pertinent topics to talk to those guys about. But in the meantime, before we get to that, I want to hear all you Sixer fans and what you're thinking right now. Ramon in Mount Airy starts things off. What's up, Ramon?
Oh, Mike. It's nauseating, man. You know how you feel? You feel like one of them nights when you went out and you know you shouldn't have went out and you wake up that next morning, it's like, damn, I can't keep doing this. That's how I feel when I watch it, man. It's nauseating.
Yeah.
Brett has a potluck rotation.
That's exactly what it is, bro. Do me a favor. Can you take me off speaker?
Oh, I'm on my earpiece. Hold on. I'll take it out.
Yeah, take that out. It's echoing a little bit. I want to hear your point. But that potluck is a good term because that's what he's doing.
All right. Is that better?
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, it's a potluck rotation. And I'm with Ty, and I'm looking, I'm saying, you got Neto, but you're not going to put Burks in the game? Like, what is this? And,
yeah, he only played Burks 10 minutes last night, which I don't know.
You know, Mike, I felt so much better when it wasn't no sports, man. I was nice and calm. I wasn't the best kid. You know what I mean? I felt like Michael Corleone. And now after these two games, I'm like, yeah, man, I'm going to go back and read my books. This is...
We could look at this and say, okay, there's plenty more games to go because there's they show you a certain profile and you go, it's not going to change.
It's not going to change. And then whoever says that they have the easiest schedule, that's a bunch of crap. When I look at Orlando, then I look down, I see Portland, and then you had the Rockets. I see these other teams, and I'm looking, well, damn, y'all gave up 40 points to AAU team with the Spurs.
That's it. Now, when you think about that, that's almost impossible to give up 43 to them.
Yeah.
How do you give up 43 points to that Spurs team in the fourth quarter?
And Rudy Gay, I'm looking at Rudy Gay thinking about him when he was in Connecticut. I'm like,
what is defense? Defense, you can design all the concepts you want. Defense comes down to heart. Defense comes down to you wanting to stop that possession. Get a stop. That's the mentality that good teams have. Good teams don't give up 43 points to a stiff team in the fourth quarter. Something's got to change. Now, again, they don't have enough. It's clearly they don't have enough on this team. There are not enough players on this team. I get it. But this is embarrassing to give up 43 points to a bad team in the fourth quarter. He played Burks. I guess he was afraid of Burks. Burks turned the ball over a couple times in that first game. So he's more confident with Neto not turning the ball over. Neto gets picked in his own backcourt. I mean, I don't get it. I don't understand what he's trying to do. Now, I don't know. At this point, are the saviors Scott and Glenn Robinson the third? I guess we can expect they're going to help a little bit.
Well, Robinson, he had big things for. I think Robinson would be the sixth man ahead of Korkmaz when he's back. I don't know about Mike Scott, but Robinson was in the rotation. He was ahead of Burks.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Robinson will help some. Well, he can't hurt because he's not a turnstile. Like, Korkmaz just gets blown by with such ferocity.
Yeah, he does.
Like, ferocious, this guy's past him. Like, it's so fast.
Off the dribble, he can't guard anybody. If somebody's got ahead of steam off the dribble, he's finished. There was that one play, I forget who blew by him on the right side. And he fouled him, like, early. It was an early foul. Instead of moving his feet, fouling him late. Let's go to Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Greg?
Oh, just trying to stay dry.
Jeez. Tough out there, man.
Oh, my God. Hey, Mike, count me as very optimistic.
You're optimistic.
Well, I'm optimistic that the way they're playing, Brett Brown will be out of town next
year. Oh, that's what you're optimistic about. Yeah, that's going to happen naturally. So I can't even look at that things are going to be better next year if they change their dynamics. I'm looking at this year. I thought this guy was going to be able to salvage something.
I thought so, too. It's interesting. Jimmy Lynam was on with Anthony earlier today. And, he talked about conditioning, and it was something that I had wondered about myself. You know, if you look at playing defense or bully ball, or particular defense in the fourth quarter, a lot of that could reflect conditioning. And It's certainly heart, but, you got to want it. But in order to want it and get it, you got to have energy. And I wonder, do you think conditioning is part of it?
I mean, why would they be unconditioned and everybody else is conditioned? they're good. Well, what you're saying, they shirked the responsibilities to doing the pandemic?
Well,
and they're not in shape. I mean, they had practices. They had workouts.
That's what Jimmy was suggesting. I don't know. I don't know.
Jimmy says they're not in condition. Well, I don't know. I guess maybe they get. Maybe they're not. Who knows? They give up 40-plus points in the fourth quarter. That doesn't speak much to you for your conditioning.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, well, Jimmy's been around the game for a long time. Jimmy's sporting a new look, by the way.
Yes.
The Watch Out for Them English book. Look.
Yeah. You think?
He looks just like Eli from Witness.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
The carbon copy of Eli.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting with that look?
Rachel.
Is it goes all the way around.
Goes all the way around.
Yeah, how about that?
That Mrs. Lynam gave the thumbs up. And I wonder if Jim, he's been on quarantine just like everybody else, been stuck in the house.
What happened to the lip part of it? Like, why would he go with them English?
Mrs. Lynam might not like
maybe
that.
Maybe she might not like
when they do a little kissy face, the scruff. She might not like that. The beard doesn't really affect you on the kissy face.
To have a full hair circle is just, that's something.
That's my guess, because he mentioned it online. He mentioned it on the show Saturday that Mrs. Lynam co-signed it. So that tells me it was Mrs. Lynam's idea. When a man says co-sign from a wife, that means it was her idea and you went with it.
Well, it's fine. I mean, I see I'm going to ask him to buy some shoe fly ply, but
that's a violation.
Let's go to who's the snake in Witness who was trying to get with Rachel? It was the old ballet guy.
Well,
he was a famous ballet guy. Oh yeah, he was a famous ballet guy, and he went into acting.
Mikhail Baryshnikov?
No, it was the guy after him.
Famous ballet
good,
guy.
Was it good enough? Alexander good enough? He's a famous Russian. He was a famous Russian ballet guy.
I know who you're talking about.
Who played the part of the blonde-haired Amish guy who was wandering down to try to, snake Kelly McGillis.
Alexander.
Good enough. Wasn't it good enough?
Good enough. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
yeah Alexander good enough. He's a famous ballet guy.
Well, he's no longer with us.
Oh, really?
He died in 1995.
Yeah, he didn't like Harrison Ford in Witness. It was a rival.
No, that was
Kelly
McGillis is what, number two role?
Was it?
Behind Top Gun, right?
Yeah, she looked good in that one, too.
Yeah, that's her number two role.
Yeah. That's the Amish lass. Widowed.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then the kid was, he starred in other movies, right? He became a famous guy.
Yeah, the kid, Lucas Haas.
Yeah, Lucas Haas. Danny Glover was in that movie.
Oh, okay.
He's a bad guy. Danny Glover's a bad guy.
Yeah.
All right, let's go Ian in Newark. Ian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ian.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's going on?
Hey, I'm still optimistic about the Sixers. This is why, man. When I look at the Sixers, I was worried about Embiid being in shape. He looks better. And Harris looks a lot better. I never liked that signing, but it's in playoffs. If Embiid can give you 38 to 40 minutes, I know that's a big if. Sixers can beat anybody, because when that guy's on the court, he just changes everything. So the only thing they have to do, they got to move Simmons back to point, though. They have to. I think you guys hit it on the head. Simmons got to go to point. If you have Simmons, Harris, and Embiid on the starting lineup, you don't need Richardson to start. You can bring Robbins as a starter and Thybulle just to play defense, and then bring Richardson, Shake, Horford off the bench. That's why I still think they have a chance at Brown, but he's got to move Simmons back to point, though, because, I mean, what has he done the last two
games? So they have a chance. You want to completely reconfigure what they are. And think they have enough time to get to have playoff success.
Simmons knows the point guard position, so I mean, is there a possible chance that they can change that? Though that's the thing. I think if they move Simmons back to point, and like I said, and B, if he just because in the playoffs, remember in the playoffs they play 38 to 40 minutes a game, and these games don't mean anything because there's no home advantage. They got an easy schedule, so they're going to get Miami first round. I really think they beat Miami. In the second round, Bucks are beatable.
They're not getting Miami unless things happen.
They're going to get Miami because look at their schedule. They're going to win the next five games. They don't play anybody. That's the problem. Now,
okay.
But the thing is, though, the thing is about Korkmaz, he's going well because he scored 60 points in two games. The thing is, Brown does not make any game adjustments. Like, Burks is like 3-for-3, and then Shake got picked up. He got picked off, too, by McConnell. They got to change the lineup. Like you guys said, if Thybulle's got to start, just tell him to play defense. When you got Embiid and Harris out there, Harris looks different. He looks better. He's actually impressed me. When he's aggressive, he's good, man. So I feel like they're not out of it yet, but Brown has got to quit falling in love with these foreign guys, though. You know, I just don't understand that, though.
Come on, man. So, what, are you anti-foreign?
No, it's just...
John's going crazy right now, listening to this.
Well, Mike, remember 3 years ago, I told you, when they had DeFingio, they should have drafted DeFingio. They would have had him at point this year. Like, he plays great defense, too, but they drafted Zaire Smith because he was in love with Korkmaz, though. That's where the biggest mistake was, is not having that extra point guard, because DeFingio is going to be an all-star in 2 or 3 years. That's just a fact.
DiVincenzo. Let's get it right, Matt. Come on.
Whatever his name is.
Like,
whenever you call me, you're allowed.
Wait, what, all Italian names sound the same to you? DiVincenzo.
I'm from Delaware, man. I watched that guy play.
Apparently you didn't watch him play enough because you don't know his name. Come on, Ian. Get out of here. DiVincenzo.
What's happening? What is happening?
I watched him in Delaware a lot. Wow. Apparently you didn't watch him enough.
And didn't watch him at Villanova when they were winning the championship, and he was the best player on the floor.
Yeah, he was the Michael Jordan of Delaware. That's why he remembered him.
Yeah, but they kept
saying, you got to get my man's name right.
And he happens to play minutes for the top team in the NBA now.
That's right.
You've had tons of times to learn the man's name.
Exactly.
Your best friend. He's my best friend. I just don't know his name.
Well, see, he's going all over the place. You got to do this, got to do that, got to do that. Yeah, you don't have enough time. This is the thing. There's not enough time to reconstruct. And it's desperate. Now, you got to go back. Ben Simmons is the point guard. They were the sixth seed. Right?
Yeah.
But you had a familiarity of a lot of games playing that way. So it wouldn't be a major adjustment. When you stuff fiddle-faddling, then it becomes more of a major adjustment, and you don't have enough time to facilitate a major adjustment. So go back to the way it was. Give him the freaking ball. Give him the ball. He doesn't play better without the ball.
No. And some of that is on him. Like, it's not all the coach's
yes.
fault, but that's still the reality.
Like, it is the reality. He is what he is right now. So take advantage of what he is.
Exactly. And then what you might be able to also do is have him play, once he's running the point again, he feels pressed, feels more comfortable pressuring the ball. Then they can get some turnovers. You get some easy buckets. And then maybe you feel more comfortable on the defensive end and you hold teams to, at this point, I'll take 110. After giving up 120, 130, how about we just get to 110 and then worry about that 100 number after that?
But here's the thing, and this is the thing you can't change, and this is one of the reasons I was skeptical that they could change and be a better team. What is here's the bench. Horford, Burks, Thybulle, Korkmaz, Neto. Now, where's the reliability? You don't know what you're going to get from night to night from that crew. Now, so maybe if Glenn Robinson, and you're taking another shot with Glenn Robinson. He's a journeyman. What do you expect from him? This is why I go, no. These other teams have set rotation. They count on X player doing X. The Sixers don't.
And that's an indictment on Brett, because by now, he should have a much better feel for what it is that they have. And I guess I'm trying to be, if I'm doing pie in the sky, Embiid's already playing 35, 36 minutes, and he looks like 38's not that out of the picture. And then you give Ben 40, because he's not always going to be in foul trouble. You got to give Tobias 40. You have to. They have to play. And you have to give Richardson 37, 38 minutes his damn self. And Shake 30. At that point, you might only have room to play 8. And then maybe. I'm trying to imagine what would happen. You have to shorten 8. That 9's impossible. They don't have enough good players to get the 9.
No,
it must be Horford, Robinson, Burks, or Horford, Robinson, Thybulle. Whatever you do, you can't play more than 8. You need 8 because you don't have enough good players. The Bucks can play 9. The Bucks play 9 all year. The Bucks have DiVincenzo as their 7th, 8th man. Sixers don't. The Sixers have to get to 8. If they don't get to 8, they have absolutely no chance in hell. Because the 9th man will always be a player that can't play. It's either Korkmaz or Neto or they have to get to 8. And Embiid and all those guys are going to have to play close to 40 minutes. They have to. I can't afford to play those guys. I don't like playing them in the regular season.
All right, let's go. Jose in Bethlehem. Jose, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jose?
How you doing, Mike?
Good, man. How you doing?
Tyrone, man. How you guys doing?
Good.
Listen, the 76ers, man, what I see about them is they don't play defense, and their defense does not force the other team late in the game for those threes. And the NBA, you got to guard against the three, man, and they go out there, and they play soft defense, and they lose the lead, and they try to come back, and they make mistakes. I think that all goes down on Brett Brown. Now, Brett Brown might not be the defensive coach that we think he is. He just might
be. Well, listen, that has been their profile, to be a good defensive team.
Yeah.
It hasn't been in these first two games, but it's not like, you know, all year that's kind of been a strength of theirs to defend.
Yeah, it has, but I think the coach has to keep that intensity going, man. It's not like you could tell him, hey, go play defense and spend your defense in the third and fourth quarter and guard against that three in the NBA and try to get transition baskets. I think he lets the foot off the pedal and the Sixers get in trouble. I'm not worried about the Sixers on the offensive side of the ball because MB has been playing like Wilt the Stilk, man. He's really
made some threes last night too.
Yeah, man. He's like another Wilt the Stilk, you know, coming to Philadelphia.
But MB didn't make it. Did he make a three last night? The Sixers. The Sixers. Their starting lineup made 8 threes. So that's not bad. Yeah.
They I mean, look, they scored 132 points, but on the defensive end, you saw the problem there. You know, they don't extend their defense and force those three. In the NBA, you got to guard against that three. That's what's going to get them into in the playoffs against these tough teams in the NBA. Because when you go against Toronto, yeah. Toronto runs up on you on the three. They make you work for
Jose,
three.
What's your hope meter say as far as the way? What do your instincts tell you about this season? Where's it going to go?
I think they get into the second round, but I think someone's going to beat them.
Well, it's going to be, yeah. All right, so you think they win their first round, Matt, whether it's against Miami or Boston?
I think they could beat Miami. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think they can. For Embiid, man.
Can they beat Boston?
That's a tough matchup for them because Boston goes small on you.
At this point, this team can't beat Boston. Now, there's still six games left for me to determine this. I think they maybe can beat the Heat. I don't think they're going to beat Boston in this form.
And even if they did, the way Toronto's playing, yeah. I can't trust that they would beat, even without Kawhi. This Toronto team is tough. They beat the Heat.
They're tough. Totally reliable, that team.
Yep. Every single guy.
Every game, they're reliable.
And that point guard, Philly's own, he's so tough that the toughness goes off on other.
Absolutely right.
He might be the toughest player in the NBA.
There's nothing you have to worry about with that team. They don't fluctuate from day to game to game. Nope. You know, they play the same way all the time.
Yep.
And this team doesn't. It's simple as that. And the coach has to take some heat for that. 610-632-0975. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, 2:46, Mike Missinelli Show. Has this baseball season turned into just a no-pay-attention season for fans here?
Kind of.
There's nobody who talks about them. Nobody even knew they were playing last night. They're playing the Yankees in Yankee Stadium. Nobody has any thoughts about the Phillies whatsoever. And today they don't play. They're out of sight, out of mind.
I think after the debacle with the Marlins, it kind of, is there even a reason to get interested? It's because they can't get a handle on it.
Right.
So no one's going to invest if they think that the season's not even going to go anywhere. And what is it? Is that true? The Marlins by win percentage are technically in first or something?
Yes, because they're 2-1.
Yes.
So they have the best record.
So they have the best record. So it's like, it doesn't even matter.
That's probably a lot of it. But I think this team
has that
become totally uninteresting to people.
Well, yeah.
They're just not interesting.
And to get them back, if they care, if you want me to definitely watch a game, for sure, I need to see Howard starting.
Yeah.
And I know they're talking about it now that they're going to be a doubleheader. Maybe they have to bring him up to pitch a game. But if you want to make me watch for sure and that the whole game, not flip around, not watch with something else, if you want me to be locked in, you have to bring the kid up. And I don't think that's a lot of cities, though. If there's nothing, for a whole year, we saw the right fielder play good. You know, he's box office to a point, but none of the other guys have any sizzle to them.
No, it's not a sizzle team.
And Didi's a good player, but he's not a sizzle guy. Like, there's no sizzle there. So if you want me to watch for sure, and some teams used to actually make decisions about caring about the fans, now that the threshold has passed, I need to see him.
They're off to a really bad offensive start, too. McCutcheon really looks lost right now. Hoskins. Scott Kingery. He's hitting 071 in the early season.
My guy, though, keeps giving professional at-bats. he's giving good professional at-bats.
Another hit last night.
He's playing all right. You probably got to keep him in the lineup.
He's hitting 556.
I mean,
Segura hitting 200.
Some of that, though, I'm not even going to blame them because you only got to play three games.
You're not sharp, obviously. You haven't seen enough pitching. And last night, you can't expect they were going to light him up. All right. Anyway, doubleheader Wednesday. Nola and Eflin are going to go?
I believe those two are going to go.
All right.
That's good. Zach Wheeler.
Oh, right? No, that's right. No, yeah. Nola and Zach Wheeler. Yeah. Well, they got a chance.
You know what?
Those games are, you know,
win both of those.
Yeah.
And then maybe on, trying to get my days right, Thursday, maybe people are locked in. Because they'll be home for a while.
They haven't even had the opportunity to gain any momentum that they could have.
Yeah, even if they
even if they were decent, they haven't had an opportunity to showcase it.
Well, real fast, that commissioner.
Ugh.
He on the one hand, they're pumping up how great their testing has been because they've only had the two teams with the positives. But at the other time, he's chastising the players. How come the NBA and the NHL are in it together, but baseball's just us versus them constantly?
Yeah. I don't know. Now, what did Derek Jeter say?
Oh my God, it's gold.
He went out for milk. They went out for milk?
He literally said they went out for milk.
For milk. And that's not what everyone else says it was.
They went out to what? To a grocery store for milk?
To get some milk, to get some coffee.
Yeah.
One guy went to a longtime family friend's house. That's all it was. That guy's a fraud.
The dog ate their homework.
Yeah, he went out for milk.
Yeah.
Nobody goes out for milk.
Went out for milk.
Come on, man. All right, let's go Ryan in Lumberton. Ryan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ryan.
Mike, what's up today?
What's up, Ryan?
So I just want to talk about the Sixers last night. Although I will say that, just real quick on the Phillies, I think the reason they're not interested is basically because everything you just said. This is still not a very well improved team from last year and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing. I think you guys basically hit the nail on the head there. But for the Sixers, I think this is the last straw that we needed to see, as far as I'm concerned, for the determination of Brett Brown's fate. I think that the fact that he had almost 5 months to reconfigure this team, to try to figure this team out to be better, I think that now, and I know that you personally, like Brett Brown, and I'm sure he's a very nice guy, but I think even you have to admit that at this point, this team would benefit from a coaching
change. I don't think there's any question. If this season ends the way I think it's going to end, there's going to be a coaching change. So that's not going to shock me, because you'd have to do it at that point.
Uh-huh. And it's just like mind-boggling that after all this talk about how long he was working with the guys and how much things were changing, to see the product that we get is the same that we got 5 months ago. It almost makes you sick, to be honest. It's like, what were you doing for 5 months? What were you doing to make
I'm feeling better? The same way you are feeling right now. And I know it's still early, it's getting late out there early, as the Yogi Berra used to say. But there's still some games before they get to the playoffs. So we'll see. I really think this experiment is ill advised right now, and you have to go back to giving Ben Simmons the one spot.
I could agree. And there's what, 6 games left?
Yes.
For the playoffs?
Is yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. What do you think they go in those 6 games? 4-2, 5-1?
Yeah, 4-2, probably 4-2.
All right. I got you. Have a good day,
man. All right, man. Yeah, I mean, the schedule is not exhausting to the point where they can't win 4 of the next 6.
Right.
Right?
Right, and it also depends. They have a back-to-back, who plays in which, and also what will Houston be playing for that last game. Houston may be playing for absolutely nothing. So it's not out of the question that they end up going 5-1, and then that ends up 6-2, which is what most of us, it would have been a bad way to get to it, but 6-2 was probably best-case scenario anyway. So to me, it's not really about the record. It's about, like you've been talking about, how they've played.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Even though the schedule does look favorable, like that team last night was a terrible team.
Yes.
And they struggled to win that game. So, like the Wizards, they should win the game. Like, we're looking at what should happen. But the way they're playing, like, you can't predict anything now. The Wizards, they should win the game tomorrow.
Yes.
Right?
Should.
The Magic on Friday, they should win that game.
But I think they're going to lose.
You think they're going to lose to the Magic?
I absolutely do. The way they're playing, because the Magic are playing hard.
The Trailblazers might be a tough game for them to win.
Yeah, I think that might be a loss, too.
The Suns should win. They should win
that. They should win that game.
The Raptors.
That's a stone loss.
Yeah, the Rockets, and you're right, depending on whether that means anything.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm looking at the deal. Usually I go, oh, Wizard, I win that game. Magic, they win that game. Trailblazers are not one of the best teams in the West. They should win that game. Suns, they should win that game, right? We used to look at it that way. The way they're playing now, we have no idea what's going to happen. All right, 610-620-9755. 3 o'clock hours ahead. I'm going to be at Jason Stark and Sal Powell on today. Jason at 4, Sal Powell 515. Your call's heavy in the 3 o'clock hour on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.